This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. It is a Throwback Thursday today. And you know, when I think about Throwback Thursday, I think of all these dates. You know, we pick a date and we pick these events and whatnot. And, you know, it seems appropriate to go back in time, especially now with the where we have the Nationals leading the World Series 2-0, to look back on other teams that have tried to do that in the past. The Red Sox down 0-3 against the Yankees in the ALCS. Seen it a couple of other times. I brought up the Mets of 86 and the Yankees of 96. Of teams in the World Series who have been down 0-2. The Yankees of 96, the last team in the World Series to do that. But the Nationals will be going home on Friday, and they'll try to go up 3-0 in this series. And on that date, tomorrow, Juan Soto will turn 21 years old. 21. Which in this country is a big birthday. Because you can go out and have a really, really good time. I remember my 21st birthday.
So does that mean that he can finally drink?
He can finally drink the champagne if it should be popping. So I remember my 21st birthday. I was peeled off the floor.
Nice.
Right? I mean, just wonderful time. Wonderful time. Friends and I just don't really remember waking up going, oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know what I wasn't doing, Ron, on my 21st birthday? Batting cleanup in the World Series for a Major League Baseball team.
You didn't have the right goals.
Right? I didn't have the right goals. That's incredible to me that at 21 years old, that's how he'll be celebrating the milestone birthday. Not grabbing his friends and just going bar to bar to bar to bar where he'll, you know, and not be able to remember and stumble out of every restroom. He's going to be batting cleanup for the Nationals in the World Series. It's a great, great little story. I'm sure that every at bat, they should sing him happy birthday when he comes to the plate tomorrow night.
Oh, his walk up song should have different versions.
Different versions of it. You're right. That's a good idea. That would be a really good idea. What they're doing is incredible. We'll talk more about how they got here and what it means for the Astros as they go to DC to try to salvage this series. That's next. SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday, 1989, 30 years ago. Game 3 of the World Series between the A's and the Giants. It resumed after an earthquake, basically delayed the series a week. That earthquake, if you remember, was very tragic for the city of San Francisco. They almost canceled the World Series, but they got it underway. The A's completed the sweep, and it resumed a week later. So last week, we tried to do Throwback Thursday on that anniversary of the quake, and now we're doing the anniversary of the resumption of the World Series. The A's went to the World Series 3 straight years, and they only won one. They lost to the Dodgers and lost to the Reds the next year. This is the only one they won. Remember that Giants team was really good. I remember they had Will Clark.
Yep.
Spunky Will Clark on that team. It's good. I thought that series would be good. It ended up not being good from a baseball perspective. Obviously, the tragedy, you know, sort of marred everything. It may have affected play, affected mindsets. Who knows? But it ended up being a 4-game sweep. But that was a difficult series to really put in perspective what you were seeing, because the tragedy was something people were talking about weeks later and continued on even after the series was over with all of the damage that had been done to the city. So that's Throwback Thursday today. The Nationals up 2-0 on the Astros. And I got to think that, yeah, okay, yeah, panic is setting in. Listen, It's hard to be a juggernaut baseball team and a fan of a juggernaut baseball team and not come away with the title. It stinks. It's like anything else. I mean, you go, if you're a Patriots fan and you watch that whole 2007 season unfold, perfect 16-0 record, roll, get to the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl. Everyone's thinking you're going to be the Giants by double digits, that you're going to put 47 on them. You got one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL and you don't win. It's hard. Right, it's one thing if you're a team like the Nationals and you get in and you go to a wild card, then you beat the Dodgers, then you sweep the Cardinals, then you get to the World Series and lose. You go, okay, we're building something. Wow, what a credible year. Bryce Harper left and we still made it to the World Series, yada, yada, yada. But if you are a team that is like the Astros and you win 107 games and you pick up Zach Greinke and everyone's pegging you to be the champions and you're a team that is just so built from top to bottom that if you don't finish this, if you don't end up as champions of baseball, the whole thing is for nothing, right? And then you got to look at the next year and see if you can keep Gerrit Cole, which you probably won't, and where does it go from here? I don't know. But let's go from the Nationals' perspective here. Isn't what they're doing just utterly incredible? Hasn't it just been remarkable? They just don't lose baseball games. I mean, they really don't. And think about when they lost Bryce Harper. It's all analytics. And it's analytics in every sport. Okay, we lost a guy who did this and this and this. We've got to find a way to get that kind of production through a couple of players. We're not going to find a replacement for Bryce Harper. We're not going to find the guy that's going to take over those numbers. So we got to get those numbers or eke those numbers out in other guys. Right? He generated this amount of runs. We still got to find a way to generate that many runs. Same with like the NBA does it all the time. Like Oklahoma City, they lose Russell Westbrook. You got a guy that averages a triple-double for crying out loud. How do you get that back? Like, where do you find that in your roster? Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you find it in other players that he can contribute here, he can contribute more, he can contribute more, and the accumulation equals the loss of production. And it's a similar situation in baseball. But that's really hard to do when you have a once-in-a-generational player like Bryce Harper. And what they do is, now you got another once-in-a-generational player in Juan Soto. But it really is remarkable that a fan base that didn't know where the team was heading when Bryce Harper left. And it's got to sting, too, because you're a fan of a team and a city and an area, and you love that team, and a player that was part of the reason you love the team said, I don't love this as much as you do, and I'm leaving, and I'm going somewhere else because the money's better. Or the opportunity is better. Or the money and the opportunity is better. For whatever reason, players leave. And you got to be thinking, well, what happens now? We had all of these runs to the postseason that got cut short. And now we lost one of the greatest players in the game. He's not only the face of the franchise, he's the face of the league. He's one of the faces of the league. What do we do now? Yep, we still got Scherzer. We still got Strasburg. That Juan Soto kid's going to be something good. We still got Anthony Rendon. And we still got Zimmerman. All right. They pick up Patrick Corbin. Was that going to make people go, it's all solved. It's all good. Now they're two wins away from winning the World Series. Now there have been these kind of interesting stories in sports before, where we've had Super Bowl champions, we've had baseball champions, basketball champions, where you just go, wow, didn't see that coming. But for the Nationals, I really didn't see this coming. I didn't know they were going to make the playoffs until the final, week and a half of the season. I didn't know if they would beat Milwaukee. Remember Milwaukee? They were the hottest team in baseball. They lost Christian Yelich, and they had won a whole bunch of games in a row and like 15 out of 16 or something like that. One game wild card. I think I predicted Milwaukee was going to win that, but I didn't think they'd beat the Dodgers. The Cardinals, you could see. But now up 2 games to none and cracked the Cole Verlander code? and doing it in a way that makes the Astros look like a team that has lost everything that made them 107 wins special in the first place. Two of these dominating pitchers lose. The bats aren't there. They're leaving runners stranded. All of those things. And as I said earlier, they've got to wake up because they are a team that can get back into this series. Remember, the key series, the key game in a series, in a seven-game series, is game four. But you got to make that valuable. Game four, you could watch the series come to an end. You could watch it, a series be tied at two, or a team take a commanding 3-1 lead. In order for the Astros to make game four somewhat valuable, they got to win game three Friday night. And they've got to do so with a pitcher that hasn't really given them a ton of optimism in terms of being able to win. But I'm going to ask this question. Were the cracks in this Astros team this October formulating throughout the entire playoffs? Remember, they needed five games to get by Tampa Bay. The Yankees got a tying home run in the top of the ninth inning in game six and could have pulled that out, forcing another game seven, or another deciding game, I should say. With the cracks in the foundation of what made the Astros great in the first place starting to show in these playoffs, and the Nationals were the right team to say, now we're cracking it wide open. Or maybe that's just too simple. What we're seeing from the Nationals in this series is something that, when you put it all in perspective, if this series is done in five or six, whatever, and the Nationals are celebrating, it will be one of those types of series where you'll say, wow, and they got production here, and they got production here, and then this guy out of nowhere stepped up, and then this guy out of nowhere stepped up, and then we saw the growth of this player, and the pitching was this, and whatever it is, the bullpen that had been shaky, had been better, more solid statistically than we had seen them at any point. All of these things will come to pass when this series is over. And the thing about it is, the Nationals are a team that's not a destiny thing, but when you start seeing these things play out, you wonder if something special is going on. Kurt Suzuki hits a home run off Justin Verlander. He's had one hit the entire postseason. Now his second hit is going to be off of Justin Verlander at Minute Maid Park, a home run. I mean, these are the kind of things you say, something's happening. It's a weird thing in sports. We get it all the time, but something's happening. And the Astros, with one game three win, can change this narrative. Oh, you say, well, they'll still be down 2-1. Yes, but imagine an Astros team that finds its bat, that finds ways to get runners across. You know what other little bit of nugget happened in this World Series already that made you go, something special could be happening here? I didn't know this until they brought it up last night. The Astros intentionally walked Juan Soto. They had not intentionally walked a batter the entire year. Now, a team that wins 107 games, when are they really being put in position to intentionally walk people in the first place? But at just one of those little nuggets that you're seeing. Zach Greinke needs to have the game. He needs to have a kind of performance that carries the offense, where the offense says, that guy is doing that tonight, we better put some runs across. And if that means moving runners the old small ball way, we're going to have to do that too. That A.J. Hinch may have to say, you know what? Some sack bunts. We're going to move guys over. We're going to have to steal some bases, but we got to get some runners home. And we'll see. If there's a team I trust to get back in a series like this down 0-2, it's Houston. They're still on paper better than this Nationals team. They're just not better on the field right now. But game three on Friday night could change everything.
really change the whole dynamic of this. If the Nationals win that, oh boy. They could sweep Houston in the World Series. It's just hard to grasp sometimes. It really is. Watching that last night going, my God. All right, coming up next, the Cubs made a hire. Is it the right one? Well, it's certainly a familiar name. We'll have that next, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's Cher. It's Throwback Thursday, 1989. God,
had to play a little bit longer.
A little longer.
Can't interrupt Cher.
Cher's still touring. She's still doing her thing.
You know what?
I'm so out of touch.
I saw her on something recently, like some talk show.
What a career she's had, huh?
Yeah.
God. I think she's been famous my entire life.
Oh, she definitely has. She has.
It's incredible. One out of four batteries will fail this winter, so get yours tested for free during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Superstart battery for you. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Okay, real quick.
Yes.
Do you remember how much heat she got for this video?
Yeah, because she was like naked.
Yeah.
She was wearing nothing.
On a naval ship.
On a naval ship with a bunch of naval guys oogling her.
With a bunch of seamen.
Yeah, right. In 1989, that was a big deal.
That was a huge
deal. Now, I don't know what these kids are watching. But
you can throw this on a naval ship and people are like,
no big deal.
That's a Tuesday night.
It's a big deal, this video. Nuts. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We'll get to some tweets. I got to get to the Cubs managerial decision coming up. Michael on Twitter, Darnold's comments. We were talking about the Jets complaining that it was caught on TV.
I see dumb people.
Darnold's comments escapulated the frustration he was experiencing with the Patriots' defense. It's just like Princess Leia telling Han Solo before they froze him. I like the Star Wars reference, Michael.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you. And his response was, I know. His response, it was his character. Okay, let me just make a point here. Didn't Harrison Ford ad-lib that line?
Yes.
Because George Lucas wrote, I love you too, which is the dumbest thing that you could write.
Yeah. And then he went to the director, which was wasn't George Lucas. I can't remember.
It was another guy.
Ian something.
Oh God, I wish I remember who did it. I don't know my Star Wars trivia that much, but it was another guy that directed that.
Yeah, Harrison Ford went to him and said, "Hey, can I try something else out?"
And yeah, do that. Yeah, I think the Jets are being babies.
Yep, they are.
I just think they're being babies. I think they're just so mad.
Who cares if he's talking about the Patriots defense or if he's talking about actual ghosts?
I don't. Where are you getting that he was talking about actual ghosts?
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
Was that reported?
No, but that's what I think.
Because it feels like everybody believes. No. Everybody took it that he was talking about the Patriots.
Oh, I've seen it other ways that he was actually, you know, well, I'm looking at the social media making fun, the mockery of social media.
But he wasn't sitting on the sidelines going, oh, I see George Washington. Like, he was frustrated because he threw four interceptions and fumbled twice, I think. It's like a six turnover day. I think he was talking about Patriots showing up out of nowhere to intercept his passes.
I think he's talking about that, but there is a certain group out there who are thinking he's talking about literally seeing ghosts. Like, in his spare time, I see ghosts.
Because he didn't say it casually. He said, oh, I'm seeing ghosts, man. Like, he didn't go, hey, you know what? I'm actually seeing ghosts. Like, that looks like a ghost to me. Like, that looks like a spirit.
That looks like Casper.
He was just sitting there going, oh, I'm seeing ghosts, man. Seeing ghosts.
No, but that's the mockery of social media, though.
Right,
that,
okay.
You know,
I just want to make that clear, because I do not believe for 1 second he was talking about a paranormal thing.
Because you don't believe in ghosts.
Well, I don't believe in ghosts. I told my daughter that the other day. I said, I'm up late, and I'm up very early. I said, you know, and I've done this for a long time. I said, I've gone down when we had our house in New Jersey that had a basement. I said, I've gone down to get something to drink in the middle of the night. I said, do you know how many spooky things I've seen? Zero. Zero. And even when your mind races and you're like, your mind goes, there's a hobgoblin over there. Nope. Never. No. So no. I don't believe in ghosts. Although I worked with a co-host who had one of those tapes where like he was, they went to the Stanley Hotel in Colorado.
Okay.
And we aired this tape of him, and it was way back when he was doing radio, like back in the early 90s. And he said, I swear to you, because I would not, I mean this forever. We do not know what this voice is. And there was this really creepy voice in the background. And I played it off like, no, that's doctored. So I went to other people that were with him at and they said, no, they actually filmed that night. And they didn't know what it was. So that was kind of spooky, you know, starting getting third and fourth hand accounts.
It could be out there. Ghosts could be out there.
Could
they're
be.
They're out there with aliens.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I think I would believe in aliens before I believe in ghosts. I think dead is
dead.
Do
you believe that aliens are already amongst us and that they're so small or, you know, so advanced that we just don't know them?
You know, that's funny. I don't.
There was a story that came out about that the other day.
I think that's possible. I think that's possible. But I also, there's a part of me that just, with the vastness of the universe, it's hard for me to fathom the idea that aliens, A, could get here quickly, or B, would want to in the first place.
See, I believe that there are aliens, and they take the form of magicians.
Ah, really? Okay.
Because there are some things that magicians do that just, my brain cannot rationalize, and the only thing it comes up with is, they're an alien.
The only magician, I swear, the one magician I thought was an absolute warlock was David Blaine.
Yeah.
Remember those specials he did with Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, David Blaine is an alien.
Okay, he's an alien. Okay. I think he's a warlock.
He could be.
He had a card inside a basketball.
Yeah.
They made like a Nick stab the basketball and the card showed up.
Guy who won America's Got Talent, Matt something.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that to Gronk, where he put Gronk's phone in a football.
That's crazy. I mean, that's nuts to me.
And then threw the football.
I know there's a trick, but I don't know. Maybe it's just pure sorcery. I don't know.
No, it's they're aliens.
Robert on Twitter, Annabelle Sanchez hurling for the Nats, had a nice career in Detroit, but later years couldn't get anyone out. Was going to get hammered also on Toledo's minor leagues. To his credit, he turned it around with some in Washington. Yeah, that's another good story.
You know, isn't it bizarre how many Detroit Tiger references have been through this World Series?
I know, absolutely.
The other one last night absolutely blew my mind. It was when Fernando Rodney came on to pitch.
Yeah, he's 42 years old.
He's 42 years old, but one of his teammates when he was on the Tigers was A.J. Hinch.
Really? That's amazing.
They were on the 2003 World
Series. You people in Michigan, your presence in this World Series is there.
Just couldn't keep your own team together.
So David Ross is going to be hired as manager of the Cubs. Good deal? You think this is a good deal?
Well, did he play for the Tigers?
Nah, I don't know. Did he? He bounced around too. He had a long career. He bounced around to a number of teams. 42 years old. We all remember Grandpa Ross during the 2016 World Series when the Cubs won. But a lot of people don't know this. They see him on TV. He was a special assistant in the Cubs front office. So he's been working with Theo Epstein and whatnot. And Theo is basically trying to strip not strip it down from a standpoint of players, but strip it down from a thought process, right? Joe Madden, we're gonna move on. We're gonna build this team in a different way. And Ross seems to be his guy. I think this is a good hire. He has no other managerial experience. He has no coaching experience. But maybe that's not what the Cubs need, because the Cubs are very analytical. Maybe it's just an idea of a guy working with the front office on certain things. Very media friendly. Ross is very media friendly. Worked with ESPN. Was on Dancing with the Stars. And this could be a good hire. The only thing that I would be a little cautious about is sometimes when you bring on like Aaron Boone with the Yankees, anybody that has that kind of association with players, where there's a tie to former players, where you were once a player and you were once a teammate and now you're the boss. Now, you have to deal with them differently than when you were a player. If you're a veteran and you assist a rookie as a player, it's one thing. If you do it as a manager, it's different. Because the manager, you have to make sure if he's not playing well, he doesn't play. If he has to bat lower in the order, he has to bat lower in the order. Whereas a player relationship, you don't worry about that. Your goal is, hey, I noticed you've been hitting the ball foul in this direction, and here's the way we can adjust your stance to make it better. As a manager, you got to make tough decisions on guys you were once buddy-buddy with en route to a World Series title. But I think this could work. I think this is popular. I think fans will love it. I think the Cubs erase a big mark by getting rid of Joe Madden. who maybe they maybe just a little too early off of that World Series just a couple of years ago. But if you're going to replace Joe Maddon, David Ross seems to be the right guy.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a throwback Thursday. We go 30 years in 1989. So let's get the good for the day.
The good of the day for America. Rumor has it that the sold-out Popeye's chicken sandwich could return as soon as this week.
Really? What took them so long?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah. It's a chicken sandwich.
It's a chicken sandwich.
It's not plutonium.
I mean, if they had the ability to say, hey, you can bring your own bun in and make your own chicken sandwich, why couldn't they just supply the bun? I mean, I don't know.
I'm sorry. If there is a meat in this country that is in abundance, it's chicken. All right, there is no excuse for you not having enough chicken sandwiches. Oh, you had to wait months and months to rebuild the supply of chicken sandwiches.
I really don't know. Was there a secret sauce to it?
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
I never had a chance. I now will have to go get one.
Did it include truffles and all the pigs went on strike?
Was it flaked in gold dust?
Right. I mean, this is silly. I mean, unbelievable.
But so rumors have it that
I'm not falling for this again. By the way,
you know, there we could see the chicken sandwich as early as this week, possibly next. Some other reports say, nah, it's not going to come until next month. But
this is insane. I mean, I'm seriously, this is insane. I remember when all the hype happened. I went to my local Popeyes and went and stood in the drive-thru, only to be told, no, we don't have any more. Somebody ordered 7. Right? I mean,
you know what made the chicken sandwich?
What are they, hoarding for the apocalypse?
You know what made the chicken sandwich so great? Was the social media surrounding it.
Absolutely.
It was just the hype.
It was unreal.
I'm almost positive more people bought the chicken sandwich and went, all right, it's a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't feel euphoria when they ate it.
Right. Totally. Right. Was this the most incredible thing I've ever eaten in terms of a chicken sandwich?
But, you know, a sidebar to this, like everything that happens this year, there is a Halloween costume.
Oh, please tell me this.
And it's actually, it's a sexy Halloween costume.
It's not a sexy Popeye's chicken sandwich wrapper costume, is it?
It's a chicken sandwich costume with the words sold out.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. That's pretty good. Not bad.
So, I mean, yeah. You do have that going for you.
If there's one thing that defines 2019 is sold out chicken sandwiches.
Yep.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's not a bad looking costume. I mean, it's basically the best way for me to describe it is a chicken sandwich bathing suit.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a chicken sandwich bathing suit.
Yes, I mean, you know, Google it.
All right, I will. I will, because I'd like to see that. No, in all seriousness, what is taking so long? I can't believe you are. If you're doing this on purpose.
Oh, they definitely
right,
are.
Right, you're doing this
on
purpose. Don't tell us.
Building the hype.
Don't tell us something's wrong. Like, these are special chickens. This isn't Kobe beef. All right,
listen,
let's be honest.
You want to know when the chicken sandwich is coming back out? Black Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when
exactly
they're going to hit
right.
you.
That's
they're
exactly
hit you on
right.
Black Friday.
And don't get me wrong, I love a good chicken sandwich, but come on now. I actually left in the middle, not in the middle of the night, but late one night to the house. I was sitting around the house and I'm like, I got to go get one. Because the Popeyes where I live is like maybe a mile and a half down the road. So I was like,
nearby.
There's a back road from my house that leads right to where it is. It's great. There's just this one little side road and you take it and then you land where all the restaurants are. And you just come at the restaurants off of this main street, and there it is. And I'm like, it'll be easy. I'll just run in, run out. It'll be simple. Nope, quick. They didn't have any.
Get your quick fix.
Yep.
No, I will when it finally does come out, because there's a Popeyes literally was just built, you know, less than a mile from my house. And I'm going to have to get one because I got to see what the hype is.
Me too.
And I hope I experience the euphoria that started this craze, but I have a feeling it'll taste just like Chick-fil-A. It'll just taste like any chicken sandwich you've ever gotten.
I think you're right.
Except for the ones at McDonald's. I don't even know if that's actual chicken.
I think you're right. All right, so what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. I got to ask you a quick question for you about bad of the day. Where is, how close are you to Summertown, Tennessee?
I am very close to Summertown, Tennessee. I am, hold on, I am probably within 30, 35 minutes. My daughter, there is a an old basketball gym at Summertown High School.
Okay.
That it's like an Indiana Hoosiers type of barn, right? Wooden benches, really old. And when my daughter's middle school basketball team was playing there, I told her, I said, I know this means nothing to you at all, but you're going to be playing at a pretty historic place tonight at Summertown High School. And she couldn't have cared less.
Well,
but I did. I thought it was cool. So Summertown is very close to me.
The bad of the day, maybe she would care more about this. Apparently, in Summertown, Tennessee, you can go to a place called the McCamey Manor.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Which happens to be the scariest haunted house in America.
That's right.
How scary is it, you ask? Well, there are certain rules that apply before you can even take the tour. Here are the rules. You have to be 21 years or older. Or 18 to 20 with parents' approval.
Right.
Complete a sports physical and doctor's letter stating you are physically and mentally cleared.
What?
You have to pass a background check provided by McCamey Manor. Be screened via Facebook, FaceTime, or phone. Have proof of medical insurance. Sign a detailed 40-page waiver.
Oh, boy.
And pass a portable drug test on the day of the show. Now, if you get through all that...
Yeah.
Say you're able to provide all that information and have a clean bill of health. The payment to enter the McCamey Manor is a bag of dog food.
Oh, so this doesn't cost anything?
No. It's a bag of dog food because the guy who has it has five dogs, and that's what he requires as payment.
He must be a multimillionaire.
You then have to watch a 2-hour movie of everybody. Literally, it's just a 2-hour movie of people who quit. And it's just saying, this haunted house kicked my, you know what, I quit. And nobody, and here's the caveat to it all. If you are able to finish it, Mr. McCamey will give you $20,000 in cash.
What?
Because no one has ever finished the haunted house.
Okay, so what are the, I'm intrigued. What are the details? Okay, it sounds to me.
They don't really go into the details of what you'll experience. But when I watched a little bit of this 2-hour video of people just saying they quit. People are either, they're covered in dirt. They're covered in mud. They have blinder, like their heads were wrapped. Like they had like a duct tape on their eyes or something like that. One person was in a ditch. I mean, it literally looks like this guy just abuses people.
All right. So it sounds to me, based on what you said, that this isn't a haunted house like, hey, let's send a group in and then another group in. Like, this
I
is
don't
a
think it's that
personal.
At all either. It's a personal.
One-on-one. We're trying to scare you and you alone.
Yeah. Basically, they vet you beforehand. Find out some of your worst fears and then institute those fears into your haunted house experience.
Okay. I read an article about this a couple of years ago, and it was the haunted house was in San Diego, where they basically make you sign a waiver and say, look, we're going to be able to, you're giving us permission to grab you, throw you down, not harm you, but not torture per se, but like,
right.
we're not messing around. This isn't a, you don't touch us, we don't touch you haunted house.
Well,
at the end of the article, it said the waiting list was like 15,000 people.
Yeah. This is the weird thing. Cause he videotapes every experience and he does that for legal reasons because people have came back to try to sue him saying, hey, you did this to me. You did that to me. And he's like, no, we didn't touch you at all.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it's all just.
So people want this now.
Very psychological.
Like,
yeah.
People really, because like I thought about that haunted house in San Diego. I'm like, they are telling people, look, we're going to grab you. We're going to throw you into chairs. We're going to scream at you. We're going to physically touch you. Like our monsters are going to touch you. Like, and then you have a safety word that you can say, stop.
Yeah.
When I saw that there was this gigantic waiting list for people to do this, I thought there is something that people, this is something people want.
This, I mean, when I was watching this video of people just, I mean, literally it was just one person after another saying, I quit, you know, It got the best of me. They interviewed one lady who came all the way from the Netherlands.
Oh, no kidding.
To experience this haunted house, and she only made it halfway.
All right, so it's in Summertown, you say?
It's in Summertown.
I might have to find out more about this.
Yes.
Because...
Maybe
this
your daughter
will
be into it. She's not into old high school gyms.
Oh, God, I was
Maybe
so excited
be
to
into
tell her
the
that.
The scariest haunted house in America.
I was so excited to tell her that about the gym. I'm like, this is an old wooden bench, been around since like the 30s type of basketball gym. I said, you're going to be playing on an iconic floor of Tennessee high school basketball. She couldn't have cared less. She had no interest in that whatsoever. She had one of her better games, too, and I said, she couldn't have cared less. I said, oh, it's too bad. But now I'm going to tell her in that town is this crazy haunted house you could die at.
Yeah, pretty
Maybe
much.
Maybe she'll care about that.
Well, you won't die. You might mentally die.
Might mentally die.
Psychologically die.
Not physically
you might,
die.
You might It might cost you in the end because of therapy.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I'm curious. I might look this up.
Yeah, I haven't really found anything like what they do because I think every experience is personal. And they're trying to keep it quiet.
Well,
obviously, they don't want to let you know all the secrets.
I think that's a good point. If you're giving away $20,000 to anybody who can get through it, you don't want to release your secrets so people can people can train to avoid those things. Like, oh, he's going to do this to me. Well, I know when I do this, I'm going to think this, or I'm going to know this about that experience, or this or that. Yeah.
The only thing I know is that they do ask you what your fears are. Like your deepest fears, and then they institute those fears in your experience.
Nice.
And it looks
like
it's only like one person at a time.
Yeah. All right. That's not so much a bad as I'm a intrigued bad. That's interesting.
I mean, anything where you have to sign a 40-page waiver, get a physical from a doctor just to go to a haunted house, that's a red flag for me.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day happens to be at Madison Square Garden.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Knicks, but this is just another nauseous experience that you can have while attending a Knicks game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are selling a Cheetos ice cream sundae.
No, they're not. Are they really?
They are.
So it's an ice cream sundae with Cheetos dust on it?
No, actual Cheetos.
Oh, there's actual Cheetos in the ice cream?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very appealing at all.
No, it just seems to me like that's something that's not needed in life. I've never sat there and had an ice cream sundae and went, you know what would be really good? Let me throw some Cheetos on top of this bad boy.
You know what I did once with ice cream once? I put pretzels on it and it was delicious.
Oh, no, that's different.
Yeah.
Pretzels, especially, I mean,
that's delicious.
That's a little gourmet. You can even do chocolate covered pretzels.
Absolutely.
To make it more of the sundae experience. I don't,
Cheetos,
You can't dress up a Cheeto.
No, you cannot. It's better on its own.
Yeah, they're just
don't add the creaminess of ice cream to a Cheetos.
Yeah, but I guess there's a Cheetos stand. It's called Chester's Spot at Madison Square Garden, and that's where you can go and get a Cheeto sundae.
I wonder if this is popular. Like it's one of those fatty things where people go, "Oh man, I had the Cheetos sundae, man, I loved it."
No, and if they do, they're lying.
Yeah, it's true. Don't mess with ice cream. There's a couple of things that work, and there are things that just don't work. Not everything's awesome with ice cream. It's like bacon. When people, I love bacon. Don't get me wrong. I love bacon, but I don't need bacon ice cream. I don't need bacon. Different versions. I don't need bacon gum. That's ridiculous.
This reminds me. I think it was French's who came out with the mustard ice cream.
Yeah.
People actually said it was good, but it's like, no, it's not.
It's just not.
I'm a fan of mustard. I'm not a fan of sugary cold mustard.
No, exactly. Listen, you don't have to go overboard with this. Just because you have something cool and awesome and it tastes really good, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to slap some ice cream in it and it's going to be even better. It's not going to be even better. It's not as good. But, I wouldn't mind. I might have to Google that to see a picture of it, to see what it looks like.
It just literally
just
looks
check
like
it out.
I mean, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It literally looks like just like a small little dish of ice cream with Cheetos on top of it.
With just Cheetos on top of it?
And I'm like, you're probably charging me $15 for this.
Gotcha. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Throwback Thursday. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Back to life, back to reality.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We are going back 30 years on Throwback Thursday, 1989 World Series, the Oakland A's sweeping the San Francisco Giants a week ago. It was the anniversary of the earthquake that disrupted game number two. A week later, they had game three, where the Oakland A's won 13-7. So, there was resumption of the World Series happened on this date. So, again, the A's completed the four-game sweep. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Patton Oswalt has a really good joke about Cheetos, by the way. We were talking about the Cheeto Sundae, and I did take a look at the picture of that. And he makes a joke that is true. He says, because Cheetos are so good but it has that like dust, like yep. when you it hits your breath, then you have Cheetos breath. And he said, if you're single at a party and there are girls there and Cheetos, you have to make a choice because you can have one, but you can't get both.
Oh, that's very true.
And he says, so if you want to date somebody at the party and meet somebody at the party, stay away from the Cheetos. You eat the Cheetos, you ain't getting anybody. Because that Cheetos breath, that Cheetos dust is just, it's just too good. He's like, you know, it's one of those things where you have one, you eat the whole bag. Next thing you know, I just devoured the whole bag.
Can you have just one Cheeto?
I don't think you can have one Cheeto.
I mean, can you walk by, say you have a bowl, there's a bowl of Cheetos. Can you walk by, grab one Cheeto and go, oh, I'm good?
Yeah, can you imagine being at a party, like single, you're at this party and there's a bowl of Cheetos and you're like, oh, I was really hoping to meet a fine young lady tonight. Oh, shoot, I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're just hoping and praying that one of those girls you're staring at puts her hand in the bowl first.
Right, exactly. And she goes, I'll have the Cheetos. And you're like, well, I'll have the Cheetos too. And together we'll be all Cheeto dusty. But God, that's great. Cheeto Sundae. I don't know if that's good. Yikes. Yeah, I saw the pictures. You're right. It's just ice cream with a bunch of Cheetos on it. They didn't even do anything cool with it. They didn't, like, dust the whole thing of the whole ice cream in Cheetos dust. They just threw some Cheetos on ice cream.